We have our singers come, please. Time to find your seats, get a last bite. Please stand and join us in singing this hymn. Can all of you find your seats, please? It's time to begin. Ready? One, two, three.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 earth, earth, all and mine.
Amen.
Okay, Betty. Good morning, harvesters.
Good morning.
It is great to see all of you. Do we have any visitors this morning? Any first timers? It looks like we're all seasoned harvesters. Our summer speaker series continues, and as you can see, we have a phantom panel this morning. I'll just keep on making announcements until all of them are here. Which, some of them are here already, so, but anyway, you see the announcements on the screen there. As always, we have the prayer sheets on the table. Please fill those out or go online and share your prayer requests with us so we can pray for you. And there they come. There's two out of four. That's
two most important.
Harvest Ministry support, you can give every week, but typically we do most of it on the first Sunday of the month. And then you see the schedule for the rest of the summer until John comes back. August 4, Dan Case and Caleb Martin. August 11, 12, and 13, Mike Lacona will be back with us. And then no class September 1 due to Labor Day. And then John will be back September 8. So the summer is going by in a hurry. On the back table, I've got another supply of Table Talk, the Evergreen issue. And the reason it's an evergreen issue is it's not dated, but it has about a dozen articles, and it has 30 days. So it's an ideal Table Talk to give away if you're already a subscriber and you want to encourage others to subscribe, or if you don't get it, pick up a copy and get used to reading it. And the subscription prices are in there. The good news is it's still free online. How many of you have accessed it online? There's a few hands. Everybody knows the website. It's very easy. It's just Table Talk Magazine, all one word, tabletalkmagazine.com. You can read the current issue, and you can search 10 years of back issues. So it's a wonderful, wonderful online version. No matter what device you're using, it looks great. You see also there the Duluth Hands of Christ. Probably the easy way to get there. Don't write down that website because you'll probably get it wrong. Just go to Google and put in Duluth Hands of Christ, and it will and you'll be able to link right to it. And then, of course, the backpacks, you still have the opportunity to continue there. Beacon of Hope, I know many of you support the Beacon of Hope. They had a flood, and as you can see, there was a lot of damage. And so we now have an opportunity to help them with supplies. They can use financial donations, but also items for the Baby and Me boutique. Now, they can't store them there, but the good news is you can bring this these supplies here to Perimeter and just take them to community outreach. Or if you have any questions, you can call community outreach and find out what's needed most. But the list we were given was diapers all sizes, 3, 4, 5, 6, breast pads, baby monitors, crib sheets. All of that would be helpful. Their website is friendsofbeacon.com, or if you don't go there, you can go to community outreach, and they can fill you in on that. So it's a great organization, and we certainly want to help them in every way possible. Okay. The Word made flesh, the Christology statement. It's great to confess once a month what we believe. And let's do that together, and I'll pray, and then we'll introduce our panel. All right, together, we confess the mystery and wonder of God made flesh and rejoice in our great salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Son created all things, sustains all things, and makes all things new. Truly God, he became truly man, two natures in one person. He was born of the Virgin Mary and lived among us, crucified, dead, and buried. He rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, and will come again in glory and judgment. For us, he kept the law, atoned for sin, and satisfied God's wrath. He took our filthy rags and gave us his righteous robe. He is our prophet, priest, and king, building his church, interceding for us, and reigning over all things. Jesus Christ is Lord. We praise his holy name forever. Amen. Join me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together here to worship, to fellowship, to praise, to learn, and that we might leave here better equipped to serve you. We thank you for our panel this morning, for each speaker as they share with us what their ministry is here at Perimeter. Pray that you'll bless our time together, and may you be honored in all that's said and done. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome. We have Karen with the nursery, Rebecca at PCS, Perimeter Christian School, and Sarah in Children's Discipleship, and Garrett is there with young families. He's going to show up any minute, right?
He's the pastor, the worship pastor in one of the services,
and so
he'll be popping in a minute.
Great. Well, we're thrilled that you're here to talk to us. If you would, in addition to whatever you're going to say, just give us a little history of how long you've been at Perimeter and all the things you've done. That would be great. Take it away.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That one may not be on. Let's see.
Good morning. Is that better? Okay, great.
You need one.
I'm Karen Gilmore, and as Fitz said, I run the nursery here at Perimeter. I've been here almost 10 years. We came in November of 2009, my family. We had a lot of friends at homeschooled that were involved in the homeschool group here, and our church had flooded, so when we were looking for a new church, this just seemed like the logical place, and we never left. We just loved it. So I've been on staff about 5.5 years and doing the nursery about 4.5. I have 3 kids. My oldest is 23. I have a 16-year-old daughter who's in Johannesburg right now with the Watershed missions trip. And I've got a 14-year-old son who just graduated from Perimeter, and he'll head to Johns Creek this fall, or 2 weeks. And we both went to Tanzania this summer on a mission trip, and that was our second time going. So kind of in a new stage of life of sending my kids off around the world by themselves at some points. But I like being in the nursery. The little guys are kind of my jam, and that's my natural bent. So it's fun for me, as mine are getting older, that I get to be with the little guys every Sunday. So we just kind of want to talk. I'm actually surprised we had such a big crowd. We were worried a lot of you wouldn't show up because it's families, so maybe you didn't have any interest. But we're all working basically with the next generation of parents coming up. And there are a lot of big differences. Some of you may realize as your kids might be having children and you're entering the grandparent years, or you're seeing your friends or neighbors. But I just want to talk a few minutes about the key differences, and then a way that I'm not taking credit for this idea, but someone had a great idea for you all to kind of be the bridge to the next generation in terms of being prayer warriors for our nursery families. So the one thing I've noticed in the nursery, we take care of the kids here from birth. We've had them as young as 5 days old, believe it or not, up to pre-K, so typically 5 to 6 years old. So next week is our move-up Sunday where they'll be going up to kindergarten, and it's an exciting time. Everybody gets to go to their new class. We have it broken down by age group. So basically every 3 months of birthdays is a classroom. And we have 22 classrooms. We have got about 335 children on average every week. Most of it's almost split evenly between the two services, but typically 10:45 is a little bit better attended. But it's a busy and fun place. And we have about 110 volunteers that help us every Sunday. So it's fun and lively, and we try to keep it well organized, and we really teach them a lot about the Lord. We do catechisms when they're three. They learn at least the first 12, if not 15, before they leave, along with the key Bible stories, craft time. They go out on the playground, and we just do a lot of intentional teaching so that they love coming to church. But some of the differences with this generation of families is you'll probably notice a lot of them are in, adopting. We've got several families that have adopted locally or overseas. They're having larger families, and they're also foster parents. So that kind of just adds a little bit of extra challenge sometimes to the nursery, because children coming from trauma obviously have issues that maybe we wouldn't see if they were more in a more stable home to begin with, to begin their life in. But we make it work. We have buddies, and just show extra grace. And it's exciting to see the transformation of those children, particularly as they're in this community, this covenant community of love, and how they are flourishing. And that is just super exciting. The other difference with this generation, I'd say, is that they're very family focused. They want to be together. Their family time is a treasure to them. And they don't want to sacrifice that time a lot of times to do other things. So they will, you know, come to church together, leave together, and that's very important. So the Young Families Ministry is really thriving here under Garrett's leadership. They have Wednesday night dinners and a lot of other things that he'll talk about, but it's neat to see. So this generation also, because of just the basic economics, as you all know, a lot of them are, working parents, maybe not full-time for the mothers of young children, but many are working, and that adds another challenge to their lives. So the idea that we have was that you all could, we've got, if you want to put up this slide, yes, that is one of our babies. We celebrate, we do have a ministry called Cradle Care. So we follow when we find out someone's pregnant, we follow their pregnancy, we pray over them, we send it to their elder to pray over, and then follow up within about a week of the due date to get a picture and the stats about the children. So we've had 58 last year. We've already had 28 so far this year. And 15 more are coming. So, and probably that'll increase as people find out about it. But if you ever want to, you can walk down that baby hall. It's the first hall down here. Just to come out here, turn left, and that's the first hall on the right. We have two bulletin boards. One shows who's coming, and it has a tree and by seasons of the couples expecting. And then across from that, it says, look who's new. And you'll see the pictures with their stats. And we also post adoptions there. And everybody loves to go by and just see the pictures of the babies and celebrate that with the parents. And they get a little gift the first time they drop them off. And we just try to love them well. So the idea, though, is that we need prayer warriors. So we thought this would be a great way for you to get involved in their lives in a simple way you can do from home. Now, don't do this if you already have grandkids. It's not for your grandkids. I'm assuming you're already praying for them. But if you want, there's a yellow card on the back table in a basket, and we just get your basic information. Most likely you're in the church database, but just in case, if you could fill this out, and then I'll contact the families who've had babies this year, and we'll try to match you. Geographically would be maybe easiest. We'll just kind of see. Obviously I need their permission, but I think they'll be really receptive to this. And it would be a great way for you to understand some of the challenges they're facing. Some of them will be first-time parents, but some would, they've had this might be their third baby. We just thought we'll start with this kind of on a small scale and see how it goes, and we can expand it to the whole nursery, as time goes by if it's successful. So basically all we need you to do, if you want or think about it, just fill out the card that shows you're interested. And then I'll take that back to the families and see if they would like to be prayed over, which I can't imagine they wouldn't, but obviously, I would need their permission. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about the nursery, unless you had any questions. Do you want to do questions now or at the end? At the end? Okay, great.
Are you related to anyone in the class?
Oh, yes, I am. Thank you. My mom's sitting over here. Aww. Thanks. Okay.
in there, how many years on average will one of your volunteers stay in the program?
That's a great question. He asked how many years some of the volunteers have stayed in the nursery. The Bunnies team, which is the older babies room, has been together for over 20 years. Bo Boston and his team, they're month on, month off. The odd months, they're there today. They've been doing it over 20 years. Carol Pope's group has been together, gosh, she's been doing it for 42. And she's there today, too. So those two are our main ones. It varies, and we have so many. We cover every demographic of the church in terms of moms with their daughters, mothers with sons, people in their 20s that don't have kids that aren't married, up to grandparents. So it's kind of we run the gamut. But typically we ask for the ministry year, but people come and go. That's just how life transitions, throughout the years. Yeah, one more.
Requirements for volunteers.
What are the requirements for volunteers? Typically, this would be true at any church, it's a criminal background check, an application just to kind of basically hear your testimony, make sure there aren't any red flags in terms of issues, why you want to be serving, and then the ministry safe child sexual awareness abuse, try to say that fast 5 times, training, which is all online. And then really the main thing is to love kids and love the Lord and point them to the Lord. All right, well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, Karen. My name is Sarah Merrick, and I'm the Director of Kids Discipleship here at Perimeter. And a little bit about me first. I did not grow up at Perimeter. I came to Perimeter through Camp All American. A friend of mine invited me to apply and work there, and so I worked there all through college and did the internship with them, and then transitioned from there into children's ministry here, working here. But love camp, love everything they do. Also met my husband there, and we have 2 kids, a 4-year-old named Bryn, and my son, who's 2, Donnie. So I've been working with kids discipleship specifically. I'm on my 6th year now with kids discipleship. So excited to be here. Thanks for welcoming us this morning. I wanted to give you kind of an overview of the kids ministries here at Perimeter, because you hear different things: Kids Quest, Kids Discipleship, Downtown, Uptown, Midtown, all those things. And it can be confusing. So I kind of wanted to give a flyover view of it real quick. But first of all, you heard from Karen. She's with the nursery preschool, and that's 0 to pre-K. So she's over everyone to do with that age, and that's, of course, down here. And then there's Kids Quest, which is a high-energy worship service designed for kids, and their motto is engage the imagination to give opportunity for transformation. Now, I don't work with anyone over in Kids Quest. Bless them. They do an amazing job. If you see the theater over by the cafe, it's that amphitheater that's colorful, and it's got the stairs going down. That's where the kids who are visitors come. It's like our front door ministry, and it's operational throughout the whole year, and Brent Weber does a great job with that. But it is it's awesome over there. Now, I'm over Kids Discipleship, which is a little different. We run from September to May, and the hope for Kids Discipleship, it's kindergarten through 6th grade, is that biblical truth is shared in a relational context, and that the hope is that our leaders prayerfully support, encourage, motivate, teach throughout that whole time that they're with the kids. And that way, the hope is that true spiritual transformation and life transformation can take place. That's the hope in the relational context. So, 2 things that I love to see personally. The commitment to lead is just for a year for our leaders, but I love to see the leaders, and we've got several stories relating to this where our leaders have a goal to stay with their group and graduate with their group through the grades, and that just creates deeper relationships and deeper transformation, and I just love to see leaders pouring into the same kids year after year and growing with them. And then the second thing I love to see is I love to see our parents partnering with us to disciple their children, because they're with them much more, you know, they have much more time with them than we could ever have. And some of our leaders are parents that are with them anyway. But we really desire our parents to be the primary disciplers. And so we want to partner with them in making that happen in the home environment where they can go deeper with what is happening on Sunday and go beyond what's happening on Sunday in the home environment and truly discipling their children. And with that also, teaching our children to worship corporately and not just telling them, you know, it's the service, you need to be quiet, but really engaging them and teaching them the elements of worship and helping them to understand worship and partaking in it. So we love to see that happen as well. And then I just wanted to share some quick numbers with you. I thought you might be interested in hearing this. We have each year about 800 kids, kindergarten through sixth grade, registered every year. And then we have over 200 leaders and volunteers serve with us. We love our volunteers so much. They're awesome. And then last year, about 550 t-shirts were handed out to kids and adults who memorized four scripture passages successfully. And then groups meet 32 Sundays per year. So if you think about it, that's really not a lot. 32 hours basically per year where the kids are in the group. So that's why it's so important for our parents to partner with us. And then I also wanted to share with you quickly what our curriculum looks like. That's a question I get quite a bit. So we write our own planners. And our planners, if you're familiar with the journey groups here, the adult journey groups we have at Perimeter, our planners are written in the Teams format, just like the journey curriculum is formatted. So our desire is that it encompasses all of those elements: truth, equipping, accountability, mission, and supplication. And so the planners are written in that format, but we also use curriculum, so we don't have to write it. We use GCP, Great Commission Publications, Show Me Jesus, for kindergarten through fifth grade. And then for sixth grade, we use a curriculum by John Piper called, or his ministry, called Teach Me Your Way. And then we switch off with another one called What's Up by Jason Klumpenhauer, I want to say. And then on top of that, also, I mentioned those t-shirts and scripture passages that were memorized. We have something called Got Truth. We really emphasize the importance of hiding scripture in your heart. And it's awesome to see these children doing that, and it's staying in their heart for years. And so we have something called Got Truth, where 8 Sundays per year are devoted to introducing a new scripture passage and the kids learning it and memorizing it. And we have fun prizes to incentivize them. And then also they do it cumulatively. So they're supposed to keep the previous passages learned in their hearts and minds too. That can be challenging for them, but they do a great job with it. One thing that I'm excited about this year is we're really trying to emphasize what it looks like for our kids to be missional. And that can be difficult because, you know, we can't exactly plan a service project. That'd be a lot of effort. And so we are hoping this year to emphasize that more. And one of our volunteers had a heart for this, and she actually wrote up this whole proposal about how our groups and leaders can lead their kids in service projects at the church or in their homes and really teach them to live missionally and to build God's kingdom as a kid. And so it's really cool, and I'm excited about that. And Community Outreach is partnering with us to make a care cart where it's kind of like portable service projects where our groups can go and grab a service project to do with their kids. And one thing that I saw this past year that I just loved and kind of sparked it more for me was a leader that we were learning about Jesus healing the paralytic in a first and second grade group. And a leader took the bulletin that has all of the people with sicknesses and illnesses, and she took it to her group, and they prayed over them, and they made cards for those people, and they asked us to send them to them, and we did. And I loved that, and that was just our creative volunteer thinking of that, and so we hope to see more things like that this year. I would love to ask your prayer for a couple things specifically. First of all, just in general, that this next generation would just be on fire for the gospel, and that they would be on the offense for the gospel and would be gospel difference makers. And because in this world today, I think that's just so important. We can't just sit by and just wait for things to come at us. We have to train our children to be difference makers in this world. And so just join me in prayer for that. And then also just for next Sunday, Karen mentioned this briefly, but next Sunday is Promotion Sunday in downtown. So we have a lot of kindergartners, 5 and 6 year olds, rising up and starting a program called Kindergarten Superstart. And sometimes some tears come with that because they come out of the environment that they're so used to, and it's exciting, but they're also nervous. And so just pray that that would be a smooth transition for them as we prepare them for the discipleship and Kids Quest environments and just everything that's next for them. All right. I think Rebecca Little's up next. Or Garrett.
You may realize that I'm not Rebecca Little. Hey, good morning. Glad to be with y'all. Sorry I'm running in, and I'm going to have to run out in a little bit. I'm worship pastoring in the auditorium this morning, and so I got to get back to do the benediction at the end here. So, my name's Garrett Moore, and I direct the Young Families and Young Adults Ministries at Perimeter, and so I'll give you an idea of what that is. We're kind of got a little umbrella of ministries that starts out with college ministry, which for us is for the most part just doing some programming over the summer and helping folks to connect that are back here around Johns Creek, Duluth-ish area over summer break from college. And so, we've got campus outreach that's on campuses and Camp All American that does quite a bit of college ministry as well. So that's kind of minimal, but that's something that's under us. 20s ministry, which is in the gym at 10:45 right now. And so that's 20-somethings, for the most part, young singles and really great community there. So the good thing is I've got Caleb Click, who works with me, who really is in with that community a fair amount. And so we kind of tag team on that, which is a lot of fun. Young marrieds. I skipped Right Start, which again, I got Bob Carter on the team. For, that basically runs itself. So, but Right Start is something, our premarital counseling program that's kind of in the mix there as well. Young marrieds, which is, we kind of let folks self-select into that. We typically think, it's folks who are in their first 1 to 3 years of marriage. But, if they want to hang out longer, we let them. And so just a great little community of folks as well there. We got probably 100 or so folks that are sort of part of the ministry somehow. But on any given Sunday, it's usually more like 20 to 30. But great, great, great time with them. We kind of take the program from Right Start, that has been honed over the years, and use those subjects that you just kind of go through in just a few weeks in your premarital counseling. And I don't know about you, not many folks probably maybe they take notes in their premarital counseling, but they probably don't go back to their little folder of notes when they're in the middle of a conflict with their spouse and say, what was it that Bob Carter said again? And so young marrieds, the whole idea there is that we want to take that great content, biblical content about how to relate together, how to think about conflict, how to think about family, how to think about finances, etc., and sort of massage that in over time, over the course of a year or two, something along those lines. And then young families, that's the biggest thing that's on my plate. Young families we have defined over the years as folks who have kids that are under 12 or 12 and under. And so, again, we kind of let people self-select on that one. For the most part, that means that your oldest child is 12 or under, because as you probably know, you usually have questions about what that oldest one is going through. I heard a talk recently where a lady who helps equip parents on how to have conversations, healthy gospel-centered conversations about sexuality, said, hey, the age of your family is the age of that oldest kid. Whatever that oldest kid is going through, that's what everybody else is going through. So for the most part, our demographic there is folks whose oldest child is 12 or under. And so that's a humongous group. There's somewhere in the range of 400 or so families that would qualify there. And so that's, if you're thinking of both spouses, kids, et cetera, that's probably 1,000 plus people. And so I'll tell you primarily about that because that's what we're all talking about for the most part, is folks who minister to children and parents of children. So young families, the reason we exist, twofold. We want to connect young families meaningfully to the body here at Perimeter Church. And second thing is we want to equip them as the primary disciples of their children. I heard Sarah say that. I think you'll hear that a few times from each of us probably this morning. And we switched that just a while ago. I came into this role a little over a year ago when Jeff Norris transitioned to the assistant directional leader. We like to tease him and call him the assistant regional manager. He likes it. It's okay. And so I shifted into this role, and we just made a little tweak with that statement. In the past, we had often said, we want to equip you to be the primary discipler of your children. We said, no, we're going to switch that around. We're going to say, we equip you as the primary discipler of your children, because you are the discipler of your children one way or another. Right? You are raising them up, discipling them, helping them to be formed in some likeness one way or another. We want to equip you in that because we want them to be formed in the likeness of Christ. Right? And so everything we do is sort of based around those two key values. And so we do a fair amount of equipping. Y'all have seen us some. We come in monthly after you at 10:45 here in the Ministry Center to do Young Families Sunday. And by the way, you don't have to like rush out of the room or anything, okay? I know the guys back in the sound booth are kind of sometimes, they love us and they're trying to be kind to us, and I appreciate that. But hang out, talk, no big deal, okay? We got coffee outside. We got, you know, parents of young children are kind of straggling in anyway. So it's all good. We're thankful that you're here. And so we come in each month, and the whole idea is that you're going to be equipped in parenting somehow, usually in something pretty relevant to where folks in this age and stage are. That's a little tough because remember, it's everyone whose oldest kid is 12 or under. And so I think you've got at least four unique stages there from sort of getting first having the child, you know, into maybe preschool or so, from, you know, early years of elementary are kind of unique from the later years of elementary, et cetera. So, but we talk about topics that are relevant from a gospel-centered and biblical perspective. So we talk about things like how do you navigate culture and media, right, which is just bombarding our families all the time, all of us, but just in unique ways with folks with kids. So we try to hit that at least once a year. We try to talk about good boundaries for technology, you know, as I think we're going to, several folks will share, but there's just every day it seems like there's some new form of technology or social media or something that we're having to think through and try to understand what is this thing. And what are the healthy ways, if any, that our children should interact with it? And so talk about things like that. We talk a fair amount. This year, for example, one of the things that we're going to really kind of push into is schedule. Schedule and busyness. What we find is that a lot of young families are just packing their schedules full of not only work, but social engagements. And that's great. We want that. And we want those to be missional, right? But social engagements and work and sports and activities, just, you know, there's no moment that's sacred in the young family schedule a lot of times. And so we're gonna try to talk about that a fair amount. One of the ways that we really get at that is, again, to talk values. So we're not just talking about values in terms of why does the young families ministry exist overall, but also what are the values that you have as a couple, as a family? What are the things that are going to drive your schedule? As we all know, whatever you value is going to drive your schedule. And so if you don't articulate that, if you don't get that out on some level, then it's going to be a bit haphazard. And I'm looking at John Purcell, who's helping me to define my personal values even this week. And I'm like, yeah, that's good advice, Garrett. You should take it. So we've talked about things like that over the years. You may remember the Young Families Ministry started when David McNeely was on staff. He really got it going first with a young family's weekend or retreat. That was kind of the first thing we started doing. And then we brought it on campus and made it a little bit bigger. Jeff Norris stepped in. And over the years, we've tried a few different things. How do we help families really hone in on what are those values? What's the middle of the bullseye, right? We don't just shoot and then draw the bullseye. What are we really aiming at? And so what we've started in last year, and we're going to continue it this year, is just a little retreat where folks get away to talk values, not to be talked at, but to actually spend some time as a couple to sit down and say, here are the things that we value. Let's make this big old list, and now let's whittle it down. Let's get just a handful. And then if you come back the next year and the next year, what we're trying to do is help you say, okay, now how are you going to order your life around those values? Make a schedule. So we had an overachieving couple this year that we've been told, at least one couple, they said, this retreat radically changed our lives. Which is, that's good to hear. I like that. And so when I dug a little bit, like, well, what was it? That's really exciting. What I found was, they overachieved. They took those values that they had spent the weekend really trying to carve out and figure out what's the exact word, what's the word that captures these other three things that we value, right? They went home and they said, okay, our calendar needs to revolve around this. And so the husband would run into friends and they say, hey, we haven't been hanging out, man, I miss you. And he said, yeah, I know, that's on purpose. He really did, apparently. He said, that's on purpose. I love you. I want to spend time with you. But we've articulated these family values. And so I need to get good time with my kids. I need to make sure that I'm intentional spending time with my kids. It's been revolutionary for them. Hopefully that spreads out a little bit. And one family's good, but I got like 400 or so that we need to get to. So that'd probably be the biggest thing that I would say you could be praying for and thinking about for this demographic. A lot of folks who want, of course, the best for their kids and are making decisions about schedule and what they're going to be involved in based on that. And some of those things are really, really great, and they shouldn't quit. And some of them are really, really great, and they need to quit. That's probably the big thing. We were talking a little bit about just who is this demographic. We met up a few days ago. And one of the things that I was even reminded about as I talked, because I'm a young family. My kids are, my daughter is 6, and my son is 4, and we have another one on the way in early October. This demographic of folks, at least in the metro Atlanta area, I can't speak for authority on everywhere else, but there's a real lack of network, of friends and family and just folks that take care of each other. So the equipping side of what I said earlier, equipping you to be the primary disciples of your children, seems like the more important thing. But in many ways, connecting to meaningful community here at Perimeter Church is super valuable as well. And so, folks are commuting longer and longer distances. They're involved in more and more stuff. They're enslaved by this thing, right? We all contend in that direction. And it just isolates us from one another more and more and more. And so if we don't sort of sit down and say, what are the values that the scriptures teach me that I must have, right? What does it look like to live a gospel-centered life as a family? Then we'll just get more and more isolated, more and more busy, and it'll look really, really bad. So be praying for that. Schedule, isolation, et cetera. Those would be the big things that I would think of. So I think I've probably taken up all my time. So we'll actually bring up Rebecca Little now. So, yeah.
You emphasized the young family aspect, mm-hmm. family values. Mm-hmm. But in my discipling, I've been very aware that I have had or have many young women who are not necessarily divorced, but who are
do you and how do you minister to that young mom of two or three who's trying desperately to disciple her children basically alone?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I don't know that we do a great job of it. We do have several folks that are either single mom or basically living as a single parent who are plugged into what we're doing. And so there are lots of little opportunities to plug into that community. We do we just do a Wednesday dinner every single week during the school year. We've been doing it up in the depot right outside of Midtown Auditorium. There's no agenda whatsoever ever other than just sitting down and having a dinner together with other young families. So we have a few folks that come to that. That's just an easy plug-in kind of thing. But we need to be thinking more and more for folks. And I think we've got to think also in tandem with Life on Life Ministries, local discipleship, et cetera. How are we thinking for those folks, et cetera? So great question. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
As a follow-up to that, and I understand that the ladies are doing all the hard work to raise these kids because dads are always gone and they're doing their own thing. So what's the church doing to get those guys here to teach them that they need to be involved with their wives and their children?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that bad, but I mean,
right.
We're quick to say we want to help these people, but what are we doing to help the guys that are causing the problem?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The greatest women in the world raising their kids, and we've been blessed, so many of the guys in here have been, in that we've had that. But what are we doing to help those guys? What are we doing specifically to say?
That's a great question. Yeah, that is a great question. Right.
Come here and see what it's all about.
Yeah.
What are we doing to do that?
Yeah, I think I can answer part of that. You know, that once we start thinking in terms of that, there's multiple ministries that kind of become a part of that strategy. So some of the things that we do for Young Families Ministry, again, are sort of low agenda. So just come be around some folks. You definitely saw, if you were here on Easter Sunday, we did the Family Fun Day. And that was a real, you know, Randy talks about get on the edge of the cliff and flap your wings. We had no earthly idea if that was fail or not. But again, just getting some folks here, being a part of things, I think is a little part of it. You know, increasing attendance for stuff on church, you know, obviously we talk a fair amount about that, how that's not necessarily the best barometer of how we're doing. But just some attractional things we are doing. I think also, you remember back to the All In campaign from just a few years back where we talked about beginning to have city ministry teams and having ministry that's really happening out in all the towns and communities that make up this area. Dan Case has been working really hard on this plan, kind of pulling it all together. What's it look like to really not just be attached to this campus in this building, but have ministry going on out in Buford and Alpharetta and Peachtree Corners, et cetera. And so there are folks joining on to those teams even now, thinking through that. So, you know, that's the best overview answer I could probably give right now. And we probably need to think even harder and learn even more about how to do that. So, but that's a great question. Bob, you had one, and then I should let Rebecca. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I actually just went through this past week and listed out every men's discipleship group that has, you know, either young single, young married guy, or young family guy in it. And so quite a few groups. I don't have stats on that yet, but that's something we're going to drive really, really hard on. For me, discipleship has been the really driving force of my connection with Perimeter, my growth here, et cetera. Some of y'all would remember Matt Ballard back in the day. He was the guy that really brought me into a group and poured his life into me, discipled me. And so that's what brought me into ministry. I was just a guy playing guitar down at Eddie's Attic in Decatur, and God had a different idea. And so all of our ministries, you know, again, from college 20s, young marriage, young families, we want to drive more and more and more toward being discipleship-centric, small group of men or women sort of centric. So, All right, I'll let you take it, and then I think we will have time for questions. I might not be here.
That's okay. That's good. My name is Rebecca Little, and I just want to say thank you so much for having us and, you know, having the interest in what's going on with young families. And I am the principal of the lower elementary school here at Perimeter. And what that is kindergarten through second grade. We have our school broken up into different areas so we can minister more deeply with not only the children but also with the parents that are in our area. But so I'm kindergarten through second. We have a third through fifth principal and then a middle school sixth through eighth principal and then also a head of school. So I have been, my husband Chris and I have been at Perimeter Church since 1995, so we've been around for quite a while. We have ministered and served in different areas of the church throughout those many years, and our children went to Perimeter School. Of course, I was a teacher. I started teaching there much later, but this will be my 11th year at Perimeter School. 6 years of teaching, and then now 5 years moving into my fifth year of administration. So we have two sons, Garrett, who is 26, and he is married and should be attending the Young Marrieds. but it's at 9 a.m, Garrett. So he goes, if that would be later, but no. Anyway, we know the reason for that. We want them to attend that and to worship. So so he is married. They are members of this church, which we're very thankful for, that they have gotten involved here in discipleship. And my daughter-in-law has gotten the opportunity to go to Tanzania and has now that heartbeat and will be going again in the fall. Our younger son just completed college at Samford University over in Birmingham, and he has decided to stay in Birmingham, but he has already plugged into a church there, so we're very thankful for that as well, and just seeing how God has worked through their lives through many different aspects of, yes, this church mainly, but also through the school and through other, my husband and I, we were just talking about this yesterday, how other people, other men have been invested in their lives, and I think that's so important, and so that's also, and I'll get into that as I talk about the school, but first I wanted to just show a little video of, I feel like, what's the heartbeat of our school. Very short, but I'll let y'all watch this.
Through the clouds to paint the perfect sky. I think of the silver
hope that brought a smile to your face. I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, and I'll start rambling, so y'all just say, Rebecca, stop. But, you know, we're about to start school, of course. And as an administrator, as a teacher, you know, you end the school year and you're tired, right? And so it's you take the summer to try to recoup and revitalize yourself. And this, to me, working on what I was going to talk to y'all about today, helps me know that I'm making a difference, right? And that God's called me and our teachers to reach these children and just share the love of Christ with them every day. And that's the beauty of being here and this ministry for me. For those of you who don't know, this ministry was started in 1983 by Carol and Randy Pope as they were looking and searching for a way to educate their own children. It started out very, very small. Now we have over 500 students here at the school. And like I said earlier, it's kindergarten through eighth grade. And we exist to, like you've heard several times here, we are such a, like an extension of what the church is already doing. We exist to build and maintain these covenant relationships, this covenant community with families, to also, you know, help the parents educate and equip, and we help to encourage those parents as they are teaching their children and raising them in an environment to love the Lord and know Christ. So, for those of you who don't know, I know there's several faces out there I know that have had children here at Primer School or even taught at Primer School, but I thought I should quickly tell you a little bit what that means, that we are a covenant Christian school and what that means. So for us to have a covenant Christian school, we have the faculty, the teachers, and the parents that understand and commit to four covenants. The covenant of grace, at least one parent has to be a believing parent. The covenant regarding our children, knowing that because you have a believing parent, then that child falls, they're a child of the covenant, they fall into the blessing of God's blessing. That covenant between school parents, so they're all covenant parents. So what, you know, when we raise our hands, when we baptize these children and say that we're going to come alongside and help to nurture and train the children, that is what we are doing as a school too, that we are all covenant parents to these children. And that is played out in many different ways by us having the parents teach in the classrooms and getting to know the students well. And like I said, pouring into the lives of other children, not just their own. Then the covenant between home and school. And you see here, Primer School, the fourth wall. What that means there is that you, the parents, are the primary educators, like it says in Deuteronomy 6. But, yes, we need help, don't we? And not all parents are equipped to educate their children through the academics of life. So we are that fourth wall. They are the three other sustaining walls, but we are that fourth wall that comes along and helps them. So we partner together. So that is what a covenant school is. It is not just a Christian school. We are a covenant body that come along and help each other. So as you heard, we are all learning to navigate what these families are these changing in this world today, right? It's difficult. It is a very difficult time. But as I pray every time I come walking through these doors and on during school, is Lord, equip me. Lord, give me your spirit to help me. Like I think Karen even mentioned, even the increase in adopted children, well, that comes into the classroom as well. And us learning how to help those children too in the classroom and those parents that have taken on that responsibility and that calling that God has called them to adopt. And we just love those children. But it does. It sometimes can be a difference in helping them get more familiar in the classroom because they come at different ages when they're adopted. And so we do have that too. But not only that, that's not our biggest thing. It is a challenge, like you heard from Garrett, too, the busyness of families, the technology, and us learning how to help parents better. One thing, if you are interested in either just seeing some equipping and some encouraging things, we have now learned to kind of reach, we want to reach broader than just us here in our school. We want to help all families here at Perimeter and beyond. So we have on our Instagram, Perimeter School Instagram, if you have older children have our young families. Many times on there, we have put some equipping and encouraging things on there, like just helping your children learn fine motor skills, gross motor skills. That is some things that we're seeing are decreasing in children today because they're not outside as much. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many little things you think they don't have the core that they used to built up because they're not outside playing and swinging. So anyway, we're trying to help parents realize the importance of those things. And by just putting things like that out there on Instagram and on the web to help come alongside and help, and just encourage them and teach them in those things. So it is Perimeter School. So if you have any people that you want to tell them about our Instagram account, and or if you want to like us on Instagram, so that way you can follow too and just learn different things. And maybe if you have grandbabies, oh, they need tummy time, you know, different things like that that maybe you knew, but they need to hear it. They need to, you need to gracefully help them with that. How about that? That's another thing. That's a whole other discussion, right? But anyway, our school reads a book every summer, and this one I wanted to just bring it up to you. If you are in some capacity working with young families, if you are working with young adults, even teenagers, or even children. This book, Marching Off the Map by Tim Elmore, is one that we are reading this summer. It has been really great for me because I am one of the older ones now on the administrative staff. And I am maybe old school. There's even a test in here. This book is written for educators, but it encompasses so much that anybody that could just glean information from it. But there's a test at the beginning if you're old school or new school. So I'm old school kind of. But I think it has helped me understand a little bit better about this new generation. He helps just for you to see who they are, but also to encourage us to not think, oh, it's all terrible, right? Because I think we hear, oh, this, oh, that. Yes, it's difficult. But once again, I always say, God's placed us in this time, in this place for a reason. He's placed them in this time and place for a reason, right? So he will equip us and he'll equip them. But I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of a picture of what he has talked about to help you understand. It helped me understand kind of what we're dealing with, even in school. Who all's been to Disney World, right? Rode Space Mountain? Space Mountain at Disney World, the roller coaster that's in the dark? Okay. So you have curves, you have drops, right? It's darkness. There's speed. Okay, think of those four words. Speed, curves, drops, darkness. Okay. Then listen to this. Those are the four words to describe our journey into the future. We are moving at breakneck speed as technology is unveiled faster than ever. We can't fully see what's up ahead. We can only guess. Our population and culture is becoming more pluralistic with each passing year. We meet different generations and ethnicities we aren't familiar with. There are bends in the road we didn't see coming. People get scared more easily and sometimes do strange things when encountering different contexts or people. Like Dorothy in the Land of Oz, the world is no longer black and white or predictable. It's full of color, and it's odd and inexplicable. It feels like we're traveling into uncharted territory. The fact is, we are. So he talks about how technology is evolving, how childhood is evolving, how adulthood is evolving, and just goes through each of those things. And for me, childhood, the extension of childlikeness and the extension of childishness, and I think that's what we're seeing a lot of when you look at some of the older 20s people. So what do we do? What do we do as a school? What he talks about here is looking at the timeless and the timely. And I think those two words I think we should remember, the timeless and the timely. What is timeless, right? Of course, God's truth is timeless. But what other things are timeless? We want character, right? We want our children to have those soft skills as well as the hard skills. So those are timeless things that we want, right? But we've got to think of timely ways to teach them those things. And so that, I think, is going to be our challenge even this year as we navigate and talk through this book at school. Or what are those timely ways that we might need to change to reach these children? Children today only have attention spans of 6 to 8 seconds. My little ones, okay? So how in the classroom is that different? I showed a video, right, to y'all. Visual is huge for this generation. And so we've got to think of ways to help them visualize. So many of our children can't put pictures, like when we're reading, you know, and you make a movie in your head or a picture in your head. Many of our children have a difficult time with that. And so helping them to develop that skill, because it's so important. So those are the things that we are, you know, trying to figure out. So, and I think even as y'all have said too, I mean, it's all of us. So anyway, I thought for prayer for us, we do have a change going on. You know, change is in the air, right? We have a new head of school, Jeremy Case, which we're very excited about. Bobby Scott has been our head of school for 30 some odd years. And so that is a change for us this year. So if you could just pray for that for us as we have that change going on in our school. We also, we have many times so many things, because, you know, the Satan doesn't want us to be teaching our children truth, right? And even with all of our ministries in this church, just pray for a hedge of protection around us all, please. And that, as you saw here, our thing and mission is for children to know they're loved, to love to learn, and learn to serve. And so, you know, that we would teach them how to serve well is another one. And then for all of us here in our ministries and our families of this new era, just that timeless and timely. Lord, how do we be timeless but yet timely? Not to sit back and wait to react to something, but how can we look forward? He gives an example of a swing set. And looking back, you know, you swing backwards. Okay, well, what are those timeless things? But how do we swing forward and think of how can we help before it's maybe too late? Not too late, but just, you know, causes more problems. And so what does that look like? So anyway, those are just some of my thoughts. But we just, Primer School wants to serve others, not just ourselves. And we are here for families. We're here for the children. But like I said, it's just one aspect of this church that's wonderful. And we appreciate all of y'all. And if y'all would just continue to pray for us, we'd appreciate it. So.
Could you give us the name of the book again?
Yes, it's Marching Off the Map by Tim Elmore. So if you do any coaching or any type of leading with younger people.
Time for some more questions. I'll take this one. Y'all can use that one. Anyone have any questions? Oops, turn it on.
We've got a few minutes for some questions, if there are any. Let me get the mic to you so it'll be easier.
This question is for Rebecca. My name is Jerry. As an employer, there's three things I look for: humble, hungry, and smart. And to me, as I've, you know, employed younger people, say under the age of 30, the challenge that I have found is finding the hungry and smart component. Specifically, what are they hungry for? And number two, do they have critical thinking abilities? And, you know, as an employer, there's one particular test that I will use. It takes them a couple hours to do it, but it takes, it's almost like an SAT exam. But finding kids who are young people who can think critically to solve problems, how's that being addressed at the younger ages at Perimeter?
That's a great question. It's so interesting because this book addresses so much of that. And that was the other thing I was going to say. If you're an employer, you might want to read this book. I think it has some great information for you as well. One thing he talks about is so many more in today's world, the younger generation, they're very creative. Okay, like I told you already, the visual part, like 60% are visual learners. So, but our schools have not progressed as they should, right? So it talks all about here for, because once again, these are leaders. I mean, these are for teachers, how we are supposed to help these children think more critically, give them problems to solve, not solve the problem for them, not to be a talking head at the front of the classroom, to ask more questions and then let them discuss to answer them. Because also, I think we talked about it as well, everything's at their fingertips now. They don't need adults for information, but they still need adults to interpret the information. And so us learning how to help them interpret that information. So I'm hoping that we are going to become more and more where we have more collaborative learning, more of the project-based learning, where students are given a problem. You know, my little area, we're still just teaching them how to read. But I do know that I feel like Perimeter does a great job of hands-on learning. We, as you saw, we make things come to life for them. You saw Pharaoh. You saw them in the Egyptian dress where we teach a unit, but then we try to help it come alive for them by some kind of enrichment type activity. And I think that's, they have to experience. And so hopefully Perimeter is addressing that, but we can do it even better. And hopefully we're going to continue to move in that direction. So I hope that helps you. But I do suggest you maybe get this book and read. Because I think that is what I'm hearing more and more of, having those children have those, that hunger. They're entitled, you know, these days, and it's hard to teach that that hunger. So,
yes, for all of you, and I would have liked to have heard Garrett's response as well. A comment first, as a grandparent, when we used to bring our very young grandchildren to church, they would they quickly figured out that they were the only kids that were going to Sunday school twice. And they quickly rebelled against that and said, well, we're getting the same material twice and we don't enjoy that. Are our younger families, the parents, are they having to make a choice whether they go to a class or go to worship service? Because I see an awful lot of them leaving with their, they have to leave with their children because the children really don't want to go to Sunday school twice. Do we have that problem that you're aware of, and how do we address it?
Yes, two things. You're right. In the nursery, they would get the same material twice because there's no way we could do two different lessons, and it would just be chaotic. If they're older, they can do discipleship one service, Kids Quest second. But if they're visiting, it would be Kids Quest for two services. So if visitors really, they would get the same thing for two services. What we find is nursery children, typically the parents don't want them here for two services, which is a change. When I've talked to older, you know, older parents, their kids were in the nursery for two services. That was just a given. You would either serve one service and worship or go to a class one service and worship the other. That's a big shift now. Only about 10% of our kids, or even less, stay for two services. And that it is true that the parents would be in a class and then worship or go to the membership class, worship, or serve one, worship another. But that is that's a different shift for sure. They go where they want to go. As often as I can, I encourage them to go to worship. It grieves my heart if I find out a volunteer isn't going to church, that they come to serve in the nursery and then they leave. I don't always know that until, you know, I might find out in conversation. Then I'll say, you know, you really need to be, it's our heart's desire. Yes, I need the room open, but you need to be in worship and growing. I can't mandate that, but we definitely encourage it as best we can.
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, it's a whole can of worms, but but yes, there. One of the problems that I see is that our families, even here in the church, are just bombarded with lots of options, and they have, you know, they can kind of pick and choose what they want to do. A lot of families do just come one service. That has kind of become the culture. What I would love to see more is young families coming to two services. And I would love to see more of, you know, serving and then worship, and, or, you know, vice versa, or discipleship, kids discipleship, and then taking the kids to experience the corporate worship service. Or if they're not in discipleship, then Kids Quest, and then taking their kids to experience worship. And that's for like the elementary age. Now the younger, I feel like often a lot of young families, when you have babies and nap times and things like that, it's hard. The mornings can get really long. But once they're in the elementary age, I would say five or older, I think that's when we really need to be looking to be at church the whole morning. That's kind of a bold statement from me.
thank you all for what you're doing for our kids. How is there any way that all four of you are working together? We'll be working together this year to coordinate what you're doing and support each other, mm-hmm. so that you're all on the same page and aligning with the same mission, mm-hmm. and values.
That's a great question. It's funny you say that, because actually we just getting together for this talk was probably the first time, but internally the church is kind of shifting our departments around a little bit. So now the nursery is under our front door ministry, so with guest services, Kids Quest, myself, and worship. And we're on a team, so that because we're open every Sunday, both services, just like those other ministries, we're trying to align. So we're really serving the same family, especially visitors. And then Sarah and Brent Weber from Kids Quest and I have been talking about what we can do. One idea was to align what we're teaching with what is being taught in the sanctuary, which would be a sea change. But that's hard, obviously. How am I going to contextualize, you know, a 14-week sermon series on radical dependence to a three-year-old? That's difficult. But what we decided to do, actually, and maybe it's providential you said that, we're going to start putting in the prayer one of the key verses, and I talked to Jeff about this, Jeff Norris. We do catechisms for the three-year-olds and up, so we're going to add one scripture to that. So they'll learn that scripture for those 14 weeks that will... The parents are also learning in the main. And then Brent Weber is going to do it for Kids Quest. So that the families are learning, they can at least have a conversation of what does it mean to be radically dependent? What does it mean to really build your life on Christ in terms of your prayer life?
Thank you.
Well, I think that's a great question. I do know that I have served a little bit on... a committee. I can't remember the name of it right now, that Jeff Summers is over. And so it has helped. Garrett Moore has been on it. Family Transformation, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so that has helped with us knowing what different ministries are doing and how we can come along together and either advertise what they're doing with other ministries or just help support in different ways or come up with something together that we can all do together. I think that one that we had speak. What was it? Say anything. Say something. Say anything. That was something that we pulled together, and we advertised within the school and different areas of the ministries. But, you know, I think that's overall with the whole church. It's so hard for us to – we have the arms and the feet, and we're all sometimes doing these wonderful things, but knowing what we're all doing together would be more helpful. And but I think even this helps, yes. It does help. So thank you. You see, you brought us all together. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's give our panel a hand for a great morning. Thank you for being here. Let's close our time in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for this morning that we've had together to learn about these various ministries. Thank you for Karen and the nursery and all that she does there, where our children are loved even before they're born. Thank you for Perimeter School and all the years that you have used the school to train, to teach, and for Rebecca and as she gives leadership there. We pray for them in the upcoming year, and for Sarah and discipleship and how the team's approach is used even with our young ones. And pray for each one that participates, and for Garrett and the young families. And Father, as we live missionally, as we greet and befriend and invite, we're so thankful for Perimeter that this is a safe place to bring our guests and where the gospel is proclaimed week in and week out. So we ask your blessing on each and every one, and bless us as we go to worship now. And we give you thanks for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Silence the